Welcome to Top Shelf at the Merrick Library with your host, Carol Ann Tack.
Welcome to Top Shelf at Merrick Library. I am your host, Carol Ann Tack, and I thank you all for joining me. I'm going to get right to it with our fabulous guest, Bonnie Garmus, for her incredible book, Lessons in Chemistry. Bonnie, thank you so much for joining me and the listeners of Merrick Library's Top Shelf podcast. To say I am thrilled you are here is an understatement.
Oh, well, to say that I'm thrilled I'm here is also an understatement. I love your podcast. I'm really, really happy to be joining with you today.
I don't even know how to process that, but I'm going to do my best. So I'm going to ask you completely tongue in cheek. How's your year been? What's it like seeing Elizabeth's journey around the world?
Oh, you know, it's just every day. It's been incredible. I really have trouble even putting it into words because it was so unexpected. I don't think any of us expected it to take off like it did. And people have been so gracious, so kind. It's been wonderful. But at the same time, I keep thinking I'm dreaming it and I'm going to wake up soon. So yeah, it's weird.
It has taken the world by storm, and rightly so. The book has resonated with so many of us in so many ways, not the least of which the shared experiences, my mother, my grandmother, the experiences that I have. You've given voice to so many women. It's generational. I can't thank you enough for doing that. There are quotes in this book. Sometimes I think that if a man had to spend a day being a woman in America, he wouldn't make it past noon. And that is a hilarious line, and people have used it on Twitter as Sunday sentences. It is particularly salient now. I don't know how you gather all of those thoughts. You comment about early readers. I was an early reader and what that's like for us. There's so many things. You shout out school librarians. Amazing. Another line, idiots make it into every company they tend to interview well. I've seen this. You've seen this. Listeners have seen this. This is something we've all experienced. As you've been making this tour around the world, what are the comments you're hearing from your readers?
Well, I think it's really been interesting. It's been a really, honestly, it's a complete privilege to be in this position and talk with these people all over the world. And what I've really come to realize is how we all have the same feeling. We're all in the same boat. And it's interesting to me, no matter where I go, that women across the world, they're still going, wait a minute, why isn't it better yet? Why are we still fighting these stupid fights? And why aren't we where we should be in STEM and in other industries? And so that has been a really interesting conversation. I think Elizabeth Zott has sort of, she's a universal character, and that's why she appeals to so many people broadly. And I will say, I seem to be getting a much bigger male readership now because, yeah, it's really good. Men, this is a good book for men to read. It's like, you know, it's not, the book isn't anti-men, it's anti-sexism. And I think for men, it's been a real wake-up call for some men thinking like, oh, yeah, I guess that would be a problem. Men who have daughters, men who have wives, obviously, you know, they're like, oh gosh, this still goes on, doesn't it? And I think that that's been really, really great. But overall, I just say people say it's this universal kind of feeling.
And we're still feeling it. So to be judged less than in the workplace or less than in any place, and not talking about it. And the fact that this book is here gives everybody voice. And I can't tell you how many patrons come up to me in the library and say, well, gosh, did you read that part or about the, no spoilers. Did you read this? What did you think about that? The book discussions are off the charts for this. It's bringing so many people together to have this conversation at the library level, at the book discussion level. It's just phenomenal. The fact that we've had to order so many copies to fulfill the demand for this very important book. I am sure when you got the inspiration to write this, you never thought this, I don't know, but when the inspiration strikes, what was it that sort of ticked you and said, oh my gosh, I have to write this book?
Well, it was a bad mood. And I think, you know, let's not underestimate the power of a bad mood. I was at work and I'd been mansplained once too often. I'd actually had my idea stolen in a meeting and I was so mad. I was the only woman in the meeting that day. I just thought, really? Are we really still doing this? Is this really the behavior that's still accepted? And so I left that meeting. I was pretty upset that day because no one, including people I'd worked with for 10 years, stood up for me and said, wait a minute, she just presented all of this stuff. These are all of her ideas. So I went back to my desk and I got to tell you, instead of doing the work I was supposed to be doing that day, I just ended up writing the first chapter of Lessons in Chemistry. And so now I call this a really good example of constructive anger.
And your fingers must have been flying, you know, like the Kermit the Frog meme where he's just typing furiously. Now I have this image of you with your pencil in your mouth, just typing. So yeah, constructive anger. People yes. have had gaslighting. It's just, I mean, on your behalf, I'm infuriated. But so take that boardroom, right? So, and look at where you are now. And I feel like having these conversations with my own mother about things that she experienced, and she just plowed through and became exceptional at what she did. So that's inspirational to me. And I wish she was still here so I could, you know, share this book with her. Anything in the future, are you continuing the story with any of these characters? Anybody going to show up somewhere else in a future book?
Well, not really, right? Not right now. I'm writing something else that's very different. But, you know, I come from the old school of you always leave people wanting more. And sometimes sequels, they come out and then people go, well, you know, the first one was so much better. And so I fear that a little bit. But then I know some very good sequel writers who have proven me wrong time and time again. So for now, no, there's no sequel.
But the good news, and that collective cheer was heard around the world when it was announced that the book will be an Apple TV series starring Brie Larson as Elizabeth. I mean, in my opinion, it's perfect. What has that been like for you?
It's just insane, honestly. It's, you know, I had the sheer pleasure of Zooming with Brie Larson when she asked me if she could play Elizabeth Zott. What a bizarre, you know, what a bizarre, I know, I'll just Zoom with Brie Larson, you know, Academy Award winner. Sure, another day at the office. No, it was really fantastic. And I have seen part of the series, and I have to say, Brie Larson was exactly the right choice. She plays Elizabeth Zott in a way that even I didn't imagine. She's just so strong, and yet you can see her grief, you can see her struggle. I think she's a terrific actress.
We're all going to be watching. There will be viewing parties everywhere, I have no doubt. How soon after or during you started writing Lessons in Chemistry was the book option?
Oh, that was just bizarre. We had just finished selling it to the British market. We were in talks with the American market for a publisher, and it was in an auction. And then my agent very casually mentioned that Hollywood had been reading it and the offers were coming in. And I thought she was kidding. And she said, no, I'm not really kidding. And I said, I don't see how they could have it. And she's, well, Bonnie, it's a PDF, right. You know, of course they have it. So it is unusual to have a book optioned so early and then to actually have it made, because most optioned books never make the light of day on the screen. So I feel extremely lucky. But yes, it was optioned and the deal was struck before the book was published.
Oh, my gosh. And this all from this meeting. Oh, man.
Well, the great thing about that meeting is I was giving a reading in Seattle, and all of a sudden I saw one person from that meeting so long ago approaching the table, and he had this huge stack of books under his arm. And he said, I just want to say two things to you. I want to say thank you for not using our names, and I'm sorry. And, you know, I said, well, thanks. And he said, I know it's a long time coming, but he said, honestly, that day I didn't know what I was thinking. I went home that night. I have two daughters. And I thought, I can't believe I did that. He said, I was never courageous enough to talk with you about it. Anyway, so he bought all those copies for everyone who'd been in the meeting that day.
I cannot imagine being gracious at that moment.
Well, he did buy 10 copies. we're back to being friends again. I think, you know, it was really great that he could admit that he failed me and that he failed women in general. You know, he said everybody was really trying to impress a vice president that day, and you got in the way of that.
Oh my goodness. That's a book unto itself. I mean, oh my gosh. And also now I'm wondering, you know, if 6:30 were in the room, like how would 6:30 process that? We love 6:30. I'm sure everyone talks to you about that. And at one point, you know, Calvin and 6:30 in the book, I kept thinking, is Calvin going to start speaking through 6:30? Because there was so many things overlapping between those two. Talk a little bit about 6:30 and Calvin, because I felt like they were meshing together at some point.
Well, you know, I really wanted to have this dog in the book. I really didn't know he was going to be thinking in the book. And when he started thinking, I was afraid of it because I don't really like the supernatural too much. I don't really like magical realism. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, of course, you know, trees communicate through their roots. Of course, animals think. Of course they do. They have brains. You know what your dog is feeling towards you all the time. They show you and they know what you're feeling. Sometimes they have more sensitivity than another human does to what you're feeling. And so having 6:30 have thoughts was just, well, 6:30 was based on my old dog, Friday, who was basically a dog genius and taught herself a lot of words. We did not teach her these words. She just listened. And then she would let us know that she knew by fetching certain things. And she was so smart that when we moved to Switzerland for work, she learned German. She proved this by taking an entire test in German.
Oh,
an hour
my long. Gosh.
Anyway, yeah, she was really, really smart. So it made me think I had underestimated my own dog. But as for 6:30 and Calvin, I had never actually thought about that before, of Calvin coming back. However, there's a little bit of that, I think, in the adaptation of it. So but not through 6:30. So.
Oh my gosh. Edge of our seats. I know you mentioned it briefly. Can you share anything about what you're working on next? I know it's something different than this time period. Any little hints? And has that been optioned yet?
No, it's funny because I did go on a podcast a few months back and I did describe what I was working on. And now it's not about that at all. And so anybody who's ever heard that podcast will go, oh, my God, she's such a liar. So I no longer talk about it because I don't write from an outline and things do shift quite a bit as I write. But I'm enjoying it. I like the characters and I'm enjoying being in their troubles. And that sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Well, because everybody has them. Everybody has them. So it's nice to be able to bring them to the table and have, again, a shared experience. So, you just so happen to do that beautifully in Lessons in Chemistry. I know that you have been busy beyond any books you can recommend to listeners.
Yeah, I'm reading one right now. I really love it. It is called In Memoriam by Alice Wynn. I really think it's beautifully written. It's written about World War I, two men who are in love with each other and their travails, their tragedies. It's very moving.
It's a beautiful book. Beautiful book.
I agree. I will totally
second that. Where can listeners and readers find you for your upcoming events? Is there one place that you recommend them go?
Where you can find me at bonniegarments.com. I usually have it mostly kind of up to date. I am super bad at keeping up with all this stuff, but I'm trying. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, so I will put all the links for where you all can find Bonnie Garmus on the podcast page for this episode. Bonnie Garmus, I don't even know what to say. I want to thank you so much for joining me and the listeners of Merrick Library's Top Shelf Podcast, and I hope you will come back for whatever comes next.
Oh, thank you so much. It is my pleasure to be on this show specifically. So thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh my gosh, I'm really grateful that you were here.
Oh, thank you so much. I loved it.
And listeners, I thank all of you for joining me today. Remember to follow Top Shelf at Merrick Library on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you find most podcasts. For the latest and the greatest at the Merrick Library, check out our website at merricklibrary.org. Special thanks to Merrick Library Director Director Dan Chusmere, Assistant Director Diane Bondi, and the Merrick Library Board of Directors for getting us off the ground and on to the airwaves. Until the next time, remember to keep us on your top shelf.